is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, with summertime schedules and things being what they are, we've talked a lot with area lawmakers. State Senator Floyd Przanski, his first time on in a while. And Floyd, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Carl, thank you very much for having me.
Well, one of the topics we wanted to hit here quite a bit is the aspect of redistricting. Following a census year last year and the decision to add a sixth congressional seat, that puts a lot of information out there. And both sides of the aisle, it's a time to take a look at how do you make this sixth district, how do you carve it out? What do you do? And give us an update on where things stand right now.
Yeah, real quick, just quick background. Like you said, every 10 years we have the census, and when we have the census done, then we, as a state, are obligated to redraw the lines on our legislative districts, and we also have the obligation in Oregon to do the redistricting for the congressional districts. And I had the opportunity to serve on that committee basically 10 years ago in 2011, and this time I was not on the committee. But from that past experience, I do know and understand the frustrations and understandings of what they have to do. Clearly, the reason that we do the redistricting is based on population, the shifts. And as you mentioned, Oregon is about to get a sixth congressional district, which it does not currently have. But that's because there's how much population has moved within the United States into Oregon that has justified shifting a congressional seat from a different state and into other states at where the population moved. And so we're one of the ones, call it fortunate, to have that type of influx of new Oregonians to mandate that we get an extra congressional district.
Now, go ahead.
And so basically what that means is that we have an obligation to bring forward maps that are to be viewed by the public, to get input from the public, and to then move forward as to what the new districts will be. And there's two sets of maps that are drawn. That are the state legislative maps, and then the other is the congressional maps. And there are two separate criteria for how those have to be drawn in the sense of certainties of population. Believe it or not, we at the state level, we have a variance of up to 300 citizens in each of the House districts that are drawn. So in other words, to be in compliance with the law, you can't have one district having 1,000 more people than other districts. They got to be within about a 300-person limit. On the congressional side, it's much, much more rigid. They have only flexibility for up to 5 people in differences in the congressional districts. So with all that understood, and then when you look at what the actual census data tells us, we know that where the population has grown significantly is in the Tri-County area, Washington County, Clackamas County, and Multnomah County, and then in the Deschutes County as well. Now, there's some other places that had little pockets that also had an increase, but those are the major areas of population shift. And so because of that, those areas in the Tri-County areas, many of those have to be smaller in size than what they currently are to limit the number of people in the district to be spreading the population across. And then on the congressional side, that's a different part. Maybe we should break that out and talk about the state, and then we could talk about the congressional.
Yeah, let's talk about the state first. One of the things there that I find fascinating, especially when you get into the more populated areas, once you start moving a line, you've got to move more lines, and you're suddenly moving a lot of lines around. There's always a potential there, depending on where somebody lives in one of the more densely populated districts, for a lawmaker to actually find themselves outside of the district they've been in.
That's very true. And that's definitely happening this time, just like it happened last time, and like it happened 10, 20 years before that. the bottom line is the population shift and the requirements and the regiment that you have to maintain continuity and size within certain limits really does start demanding these lines to be drawn. And so how do you, you know, actually draw those lines, or how do you put those together? There are certain criteria that must be met. Contiguousness, transportation links, utilizing existing geographic boundaries, don't divide communities of common interest, and don't dilute the language or ethnic minority voting power. So those are criteria that have to go through this mix. And so you look at natural as well as artificial boundaries. When I say artificial boundaries, these could be the drawing of school districts, as well as some type of irrigation water districts. Those are the type of lines that you may be looking at to see if you can find the numbers that you need for population and stay within other geographic boundaries that have been kind of put out there or in existence. Not always are you going to be able to maintain that, and sometimes you will have, and I had that experience in the district, it would have been in after 2001, where one of the major lines that was drawn was a transportation link of Territorial Highway, which goes through Veneta as well as Elmira, and depending on which side of the highway you're on, dictated which district you're in. And the same thing right now, I could say for in southern Lane County, Highway 58 that comes off of I-5 and goes over to U.S. 97. For the area that I represent in outside Pleasant Hill or in Pleasant Hill, the south side of the highway is in the district I represent. The north side of 58 in Pleasant Hill is represented by Senator Beyer. So all of that's in flux every 10 years, and that's why you do have some people scratching their head as to how did you get this line here versus another line. And there's no one way to draw the maps. What it is you work within those criteria and do the best you can to meet the criteria and then meet the obligations of census tracts, as well as just the sheer number of how many people you can have in a particular district.
So let's talk about the congressional side of this, because with the areas you mentioned that have had the increased population and with the current layout of the districts, it seems like quite a challenge to figure out exactly where you put the 6th district.
Well, it is very interesting of how you would come up with that. Now, not being on the committee, it's very hard for me to, really comment on how they came up with it. And as you well know, in our pre-talk, there are more than one map that has been put forward. And so each of the individual groups or individual entities that were putting those maps together took different things in consideration of how they felt that it would be best to draw those lines and stay within the bounds. Now, as I mentioned, for the congressional districts, it's hard to believe that you have to have the districts divided, in this case 6 districts, with no more than 5 people greater in one district than the other. And, you know, some people would say, well, you know, that's kind of interesting because the snapshot of redistricting occurred back whenever it occurred. In the earlier part of 2020, and then coming forward with COVID and everything else, everything being delayed to get all the census data together before it was released, which was delayed. Then you kind of look at it today, that census information we are relying on it for the last 6 months more than likely has changed in the sense of you've had more shifts of population. But that's a snapshot that they're working off of. And it is interesting from my perspective of where they were looking at how the population that's in the Tri-County area should be divided or split to equal your additional congressional district. And clearly it's around that framework that I think all of the drafters of the maps had to comply with, and that's what they utilized as to how best to divide out those areas, heavy populated, to to meet the criteria and still maintain the other criteria we mentioned.
There have been some public input opportunities already. Talk about what is ahead.
All right, so for our congressional District 4, for everyone that's hopefully listening today, if you want to give input, there's multiple ways of doing it, but the way to do it orally is through tomorrow's hearing, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. That's tomorrow, Friday, September 10th, will be the next hearing that will include CD4. They did have one this morning. I'm not sure if anyone had the opportunity to participate in that. That was 8 to 11. What they've done is a committee, they've established 12 different virtual meetings. They were going to go into the districts like we did 10 years ago, but unfortunately because of the COVID outbreak and the surge, they defaulted to the virtual. So there are 12. So of those meetings with the existing five congressional districts, they divided up and gave two hearings for each of those districts. That each equals 10. And the very last two hearings will be, I believe it's next Monday, and those are open to anyone and everyone. So if you are not able to participate in tomorrow's as CD4 constituent, you would be able to still participate in the greater, larger, at-large hearings that are happening on this coming Monday. Now, that's for oral. Now, clearly, for those who are into this, you can go online to the legislative webpage and get to the redistricting committee, and from there you can go into the maps that are there. You can actually create your own map, and you can file your testimony in a written form, electronic form, so you don't have to do it orally tomorrow or on the last day when they do the makeup.
State Senator Floyd Prezanski with us. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1, your cue with Shannon Sebastian, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On Navarro's Inside Douglas County, Juliet Flenches from Thrive Umpqua, Blue Zones Community. Bit of a name, a transition there for the organization. She'll explain more about that. State Senator Floyd Prezanski on with us now. We've been talking about the redistricting opportunities. I also wanted to talk about the legislature in terms of, Floyd, when is the next time that lawmakers are going to be meeting, and what's the focus of that going to be?
Well, the very first thing is our top priority, what we're just talking about, is redistricting. Because of how things played out, we did not meet the required deadline, which would have been in July of this year, to have the maps drawn and drafted and go through that process. We actually had a lawsuit, I guess you're going to call it, an opinion that came from the state Supreme Court that gave us and granted the legislature to do what's required of us to draw the redistricting. So we're on a fast track. The next time we will be meeting is currently scheduled for a week from this coming Monday, which would be September 20th. It has not been called yet, but we anticipate that the governor will be calling a special session to start either that day or sometime that week, depending on where the committee is at in the final drawing of the maps, based on the input we get from everybody through Monday of this next week. Then the committee will have 3 days or so to make any adjustments, and then they send that work down to the Legislative Council for drafting for the special session. So we will be in special session sometime, if not September 20th, then that week, because we have a deadline of the following Monday, September 27th, and if the Oregon legislature does not submit its work as to the redistricting for both the state and the congressional redistricting, then it shifts to a default. For the state redistricting, it would go to the Secretary of State's office. Shamia Fagan is the current Secretary of the State. she and her team would be obligated to do the drafting of lines for the state legislature seats, and then their and 2013 law that we passed shifts that duty where, as it pertains to congressional districts, to a five-panel judge panel that would be established by the presiding judge, the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court. So hopefully we'll stay on task with what we have, and we'll have everything done before the end of next week, the week after, the week of the 20th, so we can actually meet the deadline of the 27th.
So talk about any summertime committee work that's been going on, anything that's been happening since the main session adjourned?
Well, for the, be very frank with you, the redistricting has been the focus. We came out of session at the very end of June. July is traditionally, after the long session, not much work is done in the sense of legislators are regrouping back in their districts, maybe taking some holiday vacation time. And so a lot of the work group type is just starting now. We're in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm working with the House Judiciary Committee. And if everything goes as according to plan, we will have our next legislative days the same week that we will have the special session. If it goes as we have planned, special session one day, Monday the 20th, and then starting on Wednesday the 22nd, we would have 3 days of legislative days where all the committees come in, and unfortunately this is virtually. And at that point, we will then go to basically having our ongoing topic discussions in each of the committees.
So how is your district doing as this pandemic continues, as you look at case rates of COVID-19 being higher and lower vaccination rates in at least part of the district?
You know, it's very hard, very frustrating from my perspective to see, you know, how the pandemic continues and how the surges with the mutations that we have really impacted so many people throughout the district. And you're correct, the science and data shows us, and I say the data shows us, the areas that have not had as much success in vaccination rates are now being really, really hit hard by the Delta variant. And as you probably well know, there's now another variant has been identified in the country, the MU, and that one is still being, I guess, discussed as to what it could be bringing to us in the way of having more resistance, even to the vaccines that we have out now.
What about the impacts on the business community? I mean, that's been focus of the past 17 months for a lot of folks.
It is, and it's one of those things that are you on or are you off? Are you open or are you closed? And then on top of that, as you well know, and some of the advertisements we're hearing on the radio, just as we just did in the break, there are many companies that do not have the workers that they had before. A lot of individuals, I think, are making life changes in their decisions of what they want to do and where they want to work or not work. What type of industries, such as service industries, that maybe they're more exposed to people, maybe they're, you know, whatever it is. So we are having a lot of impact, unfortunate, that's more negative, of employers being able to hire individuals, not only qualified, just hire people to actually fill job slots. And that in itself is causing some businesses to really limit their ability to be a active business in the community. And unfortunately, that has in fact caused a few businesses to go out of business because they just cannot meet the needs of being operable without having the staff to work.
One final topic, looking ahead to the 2022 election, looks like there's increasing interest in the governor's race. Is this going to have a trickle-down impact on other races?
Well, I think it will. You know, it is interesting. We're at this stage where there's, with everything going on, people are trying to figure out who are going for statewide offices, when are they going to announce, and et cetera. Clearly, that will have impacts. The current Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek, has formally now announced that she's going to be running. So that means in her state representative district, you know, someone's going to be needing to fill that slot. So you can see a number of people potentially looking at going into those areas. And then as you see individuals shifting as to retirements, let's call it, or leaving the legislature from the Senate, then you have House members who may want to look at those Senate seats. And so it's a domino effect. And you will, in fact, see over the next 2 to 3 months a lot of interest of people moving and going in different directions on the elections for 2022.
Well, a lot to talk about. We'll cover more next time we meet up. State Senator Floyd Prezansky, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you again. I hope all is well and enjoy the weekend.
1257 News Radio, 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.